want to preach to you from Romans chapter 7, beginning in verse 15. Let's read together. Paul writes in a very confusing way here. So you kind of got to follow him as he goes through this. So be alert as we go through what he says here. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law, that when I would do good, evil is present in me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Christ Jesus our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. Let's pray together. Father, we're thankful for your word, thankful for these words, especially this morning. They're so applicable in our lives. We just pray you'll bless this time together in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to ask you a personal question today and kind of talk to you plain for a few minutes, if you would let me. I'm taking a break from our First John study as it's homecoming Sunday and giving you a very applicable sermon to each of our lives. And the question that I want to pose to you today as we work through this verse of Scripture is, do you need a change? It's perfect this time of the year. The season is changing. The temperature is going from hot to cold. The leaves are starting to fall off the trees. I had such a wonderful day on Thursday. I think it was Thursday. I believe maybe Friday. Pumpkin spice lattes are back at Starbucks, and I really enjoy those. You may not like those, and that's fine with me. I know some of you drink coffee that puts hair on your chest, but frankly, I don't want hair on my chest, so just leave me alone. But I like those. They're tasty, and I love pumpkin pie, and it's basically pumpkin pie in a cup. And the weather was just right, and the leaves are falling off, and I could wear blue jeans again. And man, I've been happy about wearing blue jeans again. It's cold enough to do that. I love shorts. I wear shorts most all year long, but when it cools off and you can get those blue jeans on, it feels pretty good. And then it rained. What day did it? Was it Thursday or Friday? Friday it rained. I love rainy days. I don't know what that says about me, what kind of person I am. That might make me out to be a serial killer. I don't know. But I do love rainy days. I just think they're wonderful. And I especially love fall rainy days. So just imagine me sitting in front of a window, doing my work, watching the rain, drinking my pumpkin pie in a cup with blue jeans on, just enjoying myself. And it was wonderful. But you know what was more wonderful than all the things I described about it? It was wonderful because it was a change, because it was different. Now, when spring ended and summer began and I got my shorts out of the closet and my pretty white legs started showing and you all had to cover your eyes when you got around me and it was warm and I felt good in my shorts, you know, and that was a change and I appreciated that too. Change in those scenarios are good. We all appreciate a change of season, maybe not when it goes from fall to winter. Amen. People always say, I want to live somewhere with four seasons. I want to live somewhere with two seasons and then one good day of hot and one good day of snow and then just two seasons outside of it, just spring and fall. But I want you to think about today. Paul writes here, and you think about, do you need a change? A few years back, I was having my oil changed and the mechanic came up to me and he had this stuff in his hand and I didn't know what this stuff was. It sort of looked like grease, but it kind of didn't look like grease. And if it were grease from my car, it didn't look like the kind of grease that should be in my car. It looked like he had taken something out of my car and rubbed it in the dirt and brought it to me, you know. And he was changing my oil, and he said, your brake fluid needs to be changed. Well, I didn't realize brake fluid ever had to be changed. I just top it off when it's low, and I just make sure there's brake fluid there. You know, change the brake pads, get those rotors turned when I need to or put new ones on, you know, these kinds of things. But he said, your brake fluid is like chocolate. And I said, well, good. I love chocolate. Chocolate is great. But he explained to me how chocolate wasn't going to help me get my car stopped when I needed to. I didn't drive any of you during this time, I promise. But isn't life that way sometimes? You know, we change the normal things. How many of your mother used to tell you, make sure you have clean underwear on? We change the normal things. I change my oil in my car. I stay on top of the windshield wiper blades. Pet peeve of mine is when they're streaky. It's raining. So I try to change, but not brake fluid. We change the normal things, but sometimes in life we hit a lull or a rough patch, like a rut would be what we would call it. Sometimes we just need a change. Paul exclaims here today in verse number 24, "Oh, wretched man that I am." It's very Shakespearean, isn't it? Kind of feel a theatric in how he says that. I believe he means it. I don't think he's pretending, but I think that it should be thought of and read with a fist pump and a raising voice. "Oh, wretched man that I am." You ever feel that way? You ever get in a rut in life? Do you need a change? So if you would this morning, let me speak to you plain for just a few minutes. Open up and hear what I have to say. Be honest with you about where you are and what you need. Now, Paul deals with sin here, and that's where we're going to be. But some of you are not real sinners. You're pretty good Christians. You don't sin a lot. You know, you weren't out last night partying it up. As Brother Scholar said, you weren't up in the club. We laughed about that. We said he didn't realize his demographic very well. Someone said, we might go boot scoot a little bit, but we've never been up in the club. And I said, all right, that's good. I don't know what either of those mean. I'm so righteous and holy, I have no idea what you're talking about there. Some of us don't need to change in regards to our sins. Some of us need to change in regard to our attitudes. Some of us need a change in regard to our apathy. Some of us need to change in regards to our, I'm doing all the right things, I've got it all figured out, and here I am on cruise control until heaven. That's where the religious crowd was when Jesus was born. And they said, you're not it. We know, and you can't be. Some of us need to change because we're not saved. Maybe even be going through the ritual as if we were saved people, but our testimony is faulty. And in our hearts, we realize there's no real relationship with Jesus Christ. Need a change. I heard a preacher give an illustration recently, and he said it had to do with a man's father-in-law who was beginning to lose his memory, and he knew the man claimed to be a believer, and he said, I need to really push him to be saved, especially now before he loses his memory. He can't remember anymore. And he was waiting for the right time and waiting for the right time and waiting for the right time. And finally he said, I don't know if the right time's ever going to come. I'm going to have to go see him and just really push him and just talk to him. And you probably had those conversations with people as well. And he sat down before his father-in-law and he began to share the gospel with him. And his father-in-law interrupted him and he said, now, wait a minute. Who are you again? And it was too late already. He'd already begun to lose his mind and lose his memory. And any hopes of sharing the gospel with him were gone. That made me think of Brother Randy Bowers. Brother Randy Bowers had Parkinson's disease. Some of you had the benefit in your life of getting to know Brother Randy before that. I only knew him once he had the disease and later in his life, right before he went on to be with Jesus. Brother Randy really couldn't control himself. He couldn't carry on a conversation with you. And most days, because of the disease and because of the medication, he just was there. But it never failed. Anytime he came to church, I could say, Brother Randy, do you remember when you got saved? And he would get it out the best he could, and he would tell me his salvation experience. He would tell me his testimony of how Jesus changed his life. And I knew the story because I had heard the story through a stutter before he got really sick. And then later, you wouldn't have known what he was talking about, but I knew that he knew what he was talking about, whether we could understand what his mouth was saying or not. One night we had a testimony service here. We just kind of spontaneous on a Sunday or a Wednesday night. I don't remember when it was. And right in the middle of two or three of you talking about how good it is to be saved and how thankful you are, what God does for you, Brother Randy Bowers just stood up and he didn't really say anything. He just stood because he knew that that's what he was supposed to do when we had testimony time. And he knew he wanted to tell about when God saved him, how good God was to him. And he stood up for a few minutes and he moaned a little bit. And then we all cried and he sat back down. One of the best testimonies I've ever heard in church. Some of you here this morning need a change because you are not saved. You may have been baptized, you may be a member of the church, but you have no relationship with Christ. So as we go through these verses here this morning, I want you to consider that. Let's begin and talk about our struggle. Verse 15 down through verse 23, Paul describes this cycle that I believe we all struggle with. He says, "For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that I do." He goes through that again and again and again for several verses there. Basically, he's saying the things I would like to do, I don't do. Anybody witness to that? Man. All the time. And then he says, the things I wish that I didn't do, those are the things I find myself doing. I won't ask you to raise your hand that time, because some of your spouse or your children are sitting there and you don't want them to know that. The things I wished I didn't do, those are the things lots of times I find myself doing. And if you're anything like me, I get very discouraged in life with this struggle. I want to do so many good things, but I never seem to find the time. I want to do so many good things, but I just don't seem to be able to come up with the resources to do the things I want to do. I wanted to eliminate the negative out of my life, but it just seems to hang around. In fact, the negative hangs around better than the positive, I found. Usually when I'm all alone, family's out of the house or working by myself, when I'm all alone is when the negative becomes that much more aware to me, when nobody else is around, when it's just me with me, is when I realize it the most, that the things that I don't want to do are usually the things I find myself doing. I can illustrate that for you with my diet. You could probably illustrate it with me with something else. But I have this struggle in the physical sense best with my diet. The things that I want to do, I don't. Exercise. I was conditioned as a teenager for this sweaty man with a whistle to blow the whistle at me and I would run. And now I try to jog or walk or exercise and I don't have that motivation anymore. I don't know, maybe I should get a sweaty man with a whistle to help me. But the things I want to do, I don't. I need to exercise, but I don't. The things that I try not to do, I do. Like eat pie. I don't need to eat pie. I've had enough pie for a lifetime. But we have homecoming Sunday, and you guys make pies, and I just don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. So I eat pie, lots of it. I'm going to have more pie today than I'm going to have vegetables or meat. Hopefully somebody made some pie with vegetables in it. Maybe I'll be all right. And then they both put pumpkin pie in a cup that I can drink while I'm driving. That should be just as illegal as being drunk and driving, I think, probably. So this is our struggle. This is my struggle. This is your struggle. This is sin-cursed humans' struggle. This is due to sin. So we see our struggle, but secondly, we see our sin. Verse 17, verse 20, verse 21, verse 23, Paul makes an obvious statement that we should all come to terms with if we haven't already. It is not the real me that does this. Rather, it is my sinful nature. Verse 17, "Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me." Verse 20, "Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me." Paul's kind of letting us off the hook here, isn't he? I appreciate him for this. Verse 21, "I find then a law that when I do good, evil is present with me." Verse 23, "But I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind, bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members." Now, it seems like Paul's passing the buck here, but that's not what he's doing at all. Paul is just making the confession that all need to make to come into a relationship with Christ and continue in good fellowship with Christ. I am a sinner. Have you come to those terms yet? Some of you have a relationship with Christ and you're believers, but you've gotten over that fact that you are a sinner. You know how I know? I've been saved a long time. I've been in church all of my life. I've been preaching since I was 15 years old. And every week I usually have to remind myself, you're just a sinner. If you're here and you've never accepted Christ and become a Christian, your first step is just to admit, I sin. not in an apathetic way, not in a flippant manner, but just to come to terms with that. I sinned. People who struggle with alcoholism, what's the first thing they want them to say? I am an alcoholic. Where do you think that came from? The basis for all that we are and the basis for all that we are to become begins right here with this confession that I am a sinner. Christians, just because you're saved doesn't mean you'll no longer struggle with a sinful nature. You may have somebody on your mind right now that you're thinking, they say they're a Christian, but boy, if you knew the things I know that they're doing. Okay, well, that just proved your sinful nature because you're thinking about somebody else and how bad they are. But it also proves that we are just great sinners in need of a great Savior. We do have help. The Holy Spirit guides us. But until we are glorified, future, justified, being sanctified, future, we will be glorified. Until then, we're going to have to fight sin, the struggle. Can we all just come to the place that Paul does today? Would you allow yourself to get right there? I am a sinner. I sin. I'm not going to make you say that. I'm only going to ask you to say it. But would you within yourself this morning get to that place where you just say, yeah, I'm a sinner. I sin. Paul writes that here in the book of Romans in chapter 3, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And we know what all means, right? What does all mean? All. All means all, and that's all that all means. Thankfully, we have a solution. There's our struggle, there's our sin, but here's our solution. Verse 24 and 25. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. We acknowledge that there is a struggle. We have admitted that we are sinners. Wouldn't you like a solution? Do you need a change in your life? Paul says something that we should all say. Oh, wretched man that I am. Just put it out there. Come to terms with it. Then he asks a question that is truly the answer. After the admission of what a wretched person that I am, this is the answer, verse 24 at the end of the verse there. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? You underline in your Bible, that's a great thing to underline in your Bible and constantly remind yourself of as Paul himself asks, who shall deliver me? We put Paul on some kind of pedestal, but Paul himself is the one saying about himself here, what a wretched man that I am. Who's going to deliver me? If Paul can be there, you can be there too. Uses the term deliver. Deliver, this term should put us in mind of wartime and battlefield. Hopefully you can go there in your mind and see a soldier at wartime on a battlefield, out there fighting, but wounded, trying to get back to safety. And the more that soldier struggles, the worse this wound gets. I think that's where we find ourselves most of the time. Out on the battlefield. Wounded and struggling, the more we struggle to get to what we think is deliverance, that wound gets worse and worse and worse. And if we don't stop, eventually we're just going to bleed out and it'll be all over with. We need somebody to deliver us. Who? Who is going to deliver you? Verse 25, I thank God through Christ Jesus. God through Christ Jesus has already delivered you. Jesus is the solution. God has made a way to help you with this struggle and with your sin. In chapter 5, in his writing to the Romans, Paul says, but God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You see, when you come to church on homecoming Sunday, it's fall, the preacher usually preaches this type of a message. Do you need a change? And no matter what, we all agree, yes, I need a change, and then we come up with this plan. Here's what I'm going to do. A person who doesn't have a relationship with Christ will usually say something along the lines of, I know I need to get in church. I know I need to get in a relationship with Christ. And I'm going to get these things fixed up in my life, and then I will. That's not what you need. You don't need to fix you. You need to give yourself over to a great God who can deliver you. Stop the struggle. Stop with your sin and allow Christ to deliver you. If you need a change today, Jesus is your solution. You could continue to struggle, but things are just going to get worse. We're bootstrap people. Are you? I am. And that's all right in a sense. I saw a little sign this week that said, you don't get the things you wish for, you get the things you work for. I said, I like that. Because it hit me at some point in my adult life, I can wish for these things all of my life, I'm never going to get them. But if I start setting goals and working towards those goals, I'll accomplish some things and get the things that I want out of life. And that's the truth of the matter. But when it comes to your religion, when it comes to your faith, when it comes to biblical teaching, all that's going to do is make things worse for you. It's like quicksand. I've never been in quicksand. I don't even know if quicksand actually exists. But I've seen quicksand in the movies. You guys seen quicksand in the movies? And what's the rule we know about quicksand? You get in it, the last thing you need to do is what? Struggle. The more you struggle in quicksand, the deeper it gets. Eventually you find this dude on this deserted island in quicksand up to his neck. And he never seems to get farther than his neck, does he? Y'all seen this same movie as me? You know why he doesn't get any farther than his neck? Because once it gets up to here, you can't struggle anymore. Your legs are stuck, your arms are stuck. The only thing you can do is cry out for help. Isn't that a perfect illustration of what Paul's saying here this morning? Or it's sort of like drowning in water. If you've ever been taught how to swim, if you've ever been taught how to stay alive, if your boat capsizes, by the way, I'm not ever going on a cruise. I'm not going with you. I'm not taking a boat ride anywhere. I'll go on a plane with you if you want to go somewhere with me. Planes crash and I just die and it's over with. I do not want to get out. I'm a big guy. I can swim, but I can't swim very well. I was taught good manners and, you know, how things work. Give the ladies the boats and the life vests. So that leaves me without a boat or a life vest in the middle of the ocean where there are sharks and things that will sting me and just this water to sink in and die. So I have this fear. So I'm just not going to. I'm an adult. I can choose. This is my choice. Now, my wife, she doesn't fly. She wants to go on a boat, but I won't go with her. I want to go on a plane. She won't go with me. So, hey, we'll retire quicker than some of you because we won't spend up our money going on vacation. So there you go. But you know you're taught if you're drowning, if you're in water, don't panic. I mean, I'm taught that, and I don't know that I would do it. But, you know, the problem with panicking when you're sinking in water is when we panic, we gasp. And then you suck water in your lungs, and that kills you. You get the picture? Quicksand, water, wherever. Stop the struggle. You're a sinner. Just be a sinner. Just realize that that's you. This is who you are. Stop the struggle and embrace your solution, which is Jesus Christ, your Savior. You have to, when you find yourself in a struggle, you have to relax and allow yourself to be delivered. But for whatever reason, that is not our natural inclination. You ever tried to help an animal who's in a mess? That animal will fight you tooth and nail, especially if it's like a wild animal. I saw a deer in this mud one time. Maybe that was real quick, Sam. Saw this deer in this mud, and these park rangers were trying to get this deer out of this mud. And this deer was whacking those guys with his hoofs. He didn't want to be rescued. He wanted to be rescued, but he thought they were going to hurt him worse than this mud he couldn't get out of. They had to tranquilize the deer and then drag him out and let him wake up and run off. That's what most of you do when Jesus is trying to help you. You resist it. You struggle. You try to make it through it on your own. You rationalize within your own mind. Do you know who the worst advisor in your life is? You. Study King David. And King David's a pretty good advisor. But usually King David got at his lowest points, his worst times of depression, when he advised himself. God put Jonathan in David's life for that reason. He needed Jonathan's help. So I would say this morning. Christian, silly as this sounds, Jesus is your solution. Now that sounds silly because you, as a Christian, you are innately a follower of Christ. But I think sometimes we forget that. It's like we've got this fire insurance, and now we're saved by grace, but we're going to live by works. You operate your Christian life that way sometimes? Jesus is your solution every day. Wake up with Jesus, go to bed with Jesus. Every single day. Lord, what would thou have me to do today? He's your solution. Stop this struggle of trying to live this religious life of some certain standard or way of living that you think is making God happy. You know what makes my dad happy with me more than anything else? It's not how good I mow my yard. It's not how well I preach. It's nothing else that I could come up with in my list. You know what it is? Somebody tell me what it is. Wait, I shouldn't let y'all. I shouldn't put you out on a limb like that. It's because I'm his son. That's what makes me happy with my boys. Do some. I'll just be honest. They're not here right now. They do some pretty stupid stuff sometimes. I look at them and think, what in the world? What compelled you to do this? Going to get a witness, parents. I'm feeling pretty guilty right now. Any other parents right there with me? But it's not the stuff they do or don't do that makes you love them. It's because they're yours. They're your children. I don't know if it's because we look at them and say, I made that. You know, it's my creation or something. I don't know, but it is. Your righteous living is like filthy rags to God. Realize that? You think of the best day you've ever had as a Christian, and in God's sight, it makes him want to puke. It's still just that unholy, because he is that holy. In fact, you're attempting to live that life is what leads to the struggle. Paul just gave in. Don't you think Paul had a unique relationship with Jesus Christ? Oh, I do. I wish I could get where Paul was. And the more I read about Paul, it's not Paul telling me, do this and don't do that. It's just Paul saying, I'm chief of sinners. Oh, wretched man that I am. If anybody don't deserve this, it's me. That seems to be Paul's mentality. And he lives every day like that. Well, that's what Jesus instructed, wasn't it? Paul said, I die daily. What did Jesus say? If any man come after me, let him take up his cross, deny himself, and follow me. Jesus didn't say, if any man come after me, live by these set of rules, and if you can do that in one day, then everything will be all right. No, he said, just deny yourself. So, believer, I think Peter has good words for you here. Cast all your care on him. He cares for you. Unbeliever, if you're here today and you don't think you're saved, or you're wondering if you are saved, I appreciate you being here today. I'm grateful that you sat through this and allowed me to share this with you. So I'm asking you, unbeliever here today, do you need a change in life? Your eternal soul relies on this moment right now. You need a change, and Jesus is your solution. Paul also said to the Romans, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. A verbal acknowledgement that you need Jesus to deliver you is the first step. Now, that seems really easy, so let me say this to you on that. A verbal acknowledgement that you need Jesus is no quick fix for you. A verbal acknowledgement that you need Jesus is no quick fix to your habit. It is no quick fix to your finances. It is no quick fix to the troubles that you have with your job. No, not at all. But it is instant deliverance from the struggle you have in life. He will deliver you from your struggle. He will deliver you from you. Do you need a change today? I'm getting ready to pray. I hope you will pray with me. My prayer won't fix where you are today. Now, if you're sick, I can pray for you. That's biblical. And God may hear my prayer for you when you're sick and heal your body. If you're in need, I can pray for you. Anybody else in here can too. And God may hear others' prayers for you and work on your need. But for you to get a change, you must pray yourself for yourself. You must come to God in repentance. You must come to God in humility. You must come before Almighty God. And we can come boldly, he said, and just be you. It's me again, Lord. I'm just a sinner, but I need a great Savior. And I'm thankful for your Son, Jesus, who died that I might live. Would you admit to yourself right now, I am struggling? You don't have to admit to the person next to you. You don't have to admit to everybody else in the church. You don't have to admit on Facebook. But would you at least admit to yourself, I'm putting up a good front, but in truth, I am struggling. What about this? Would you admit this to yourself? I sin. This causes me to struggle. If you can admit those two things this morning, then you can admit this. I need a solution. And Jesus is that solution. Let's stand and have a time of prayer. You bow your heads, close your eyes. Nobody looking around. This is a private time of prayer. If you'd like somebody to pray with you today, come forward. I can pray with you, or someone else can pray with you. Love to help you today. Pray right now. I need a solution. I struggle. I struggle because of my sin. I need a solution. Jesus is that solution. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me? God, through Jesus Christ. Let's pray together.